Here we go.
This is Buccaneers Total Access, with head coach Dirk Cotter.
Fire the cannons!
Brought to you by Frontier Communications. Fios keeps you in the game. Visit FrontierFlorida.com to join the team.
Winston looking left, goes a deep route toward Mike Evans. He hangs on! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Mike Evans goes up and takes it away from two defenders. What a great throw by Winston!
Now your host, Bucs insider Casey Phillips, and head coach Dirk Cotter.
How's it going, Tampa Bay? Thank you so much for starting off part of your holiday weekend here with us. We are so excited to have head coach Dirk Cotter here with us for the full hour, and we are, as always, going to be taking your questions. You can send them in using that hashtag BucsRadio on Twitter. You can also submit them in the feature section of the Bucs app, or you can give us a call. Here's some of those phone numbers for you. Hillsboro, 990-4620. Pinellas, 461-4620. And toll-free, 888-546-4620. Coach, how are you doing today?
Hey, Casey, how's it going?
Wonderful, wonderful. All right, let's get to firing these off at you. Our first one comes from Sean. He says, have you ever been a part of a game with that many injuries as Monday, and have you ever been part of a team that has had to place five guys on IR in one day?
No and no. That was a lot in both cases. Yeah, Monday night, it was crazy how fast they were mounting up on us. Really, really pleased with the guys that had to come in the game and fill in for the players that got hurt. But, of course, injuries, we've talked about them many times, are the worst part of it. And, you know, we did have a couple injuries that forced guys out for the remainder of the year. Our best wishes are with those players. I mean, Darius Glanton, being the most serious, had to have surgery the same night of the game. And actually just got out of the hospital today. So, you know, best wishes for a speedy recovery for Darius and all the other players that got injured.
Absolutely. That's the most important thing for sure. And to follow up on that, Tim wanted to know, it's one thing to have injuries before a game and you can already have a plan in place, but how did all the injuries during the game affect what you were able to do as a head coach and how you tried to handle it?
Well, that's the thing about the NFL. You know, when I was a college coach, you know, you might dress 110 guys down for a game. I mean, in the NFL, you dress 46 players. And I think at one point we had 10 or 11 guys down in the game Monday night. You know, you have your different packages up, both on offense, defense, special teams. And every time there's an injury, it forces adjustments. You know, who's going in on different packages. You might not have enough tight ends or enough wideouts or enough running backs to do certain things. Same thing on defense. You might not have enough DBs or linebackers. And then it also, you forget it. You know, it forces you to adjust what you're doing on special teams as well. So that's why, you know, all the coaches are always cross-training their guys. They all have what-if scenarios in place. It usually just doesn't go to quite the depths as it did on Monday night.
Yeah, that's very true. Jordan said, Jameis was so accurate Monday. Is accuracy mainly about form, or what else plays a role in that?
Yeah, that's form is part of it for sure. You know, I think one thing is we're just seeing Jameis a little healthier than he's been in quite some time. I thought Jameis just really threw the ball. He was very accurate. He threw the ball. I thought he really threw the right type of passes for the play. You know, if he threw a couple balls over the top, he threw a couple balls with great touch. He threw a couple balls that he had to really fire in there. He was on time. Part of that starts with protection. Very accurate. He didn't try to overthrow. Didn't try to overstride. And you know, Jameis has just had a season in which, you know, he's had to battle some injuries, and I think Monday night was just an example of what Jameis can play like when he is healthy.
Titus wants to know, he says, I know coaches like to downplay the term moral victory, but did it mean something to you that the team didn't give up when they weren't able to make the playoffs and looked like the walking wounded out there with injuries?
Sure, and you can there's no shame in saying you're proud of your guys for competing, even though you lost. There's no shame in that. I mean, there are no moral victories, that's for sure. I mean, you don't get any bonus points for trying hard. We should try hard. It's pro football. But our guys did a good job of hanging in there. We had, I think, seven young guys that were playing in their first Monday night football game. We had multiple guys that were getting their, you know, getting their first taste of real NFL football. But, you know, the object of the game is to win, and we played a good Falcons team. And, you know, we didn't make enough plays to get it done. But that doesn't diminish the fact that the guys did a good job of competing.
Henry wants to know, as of now, who would you give Rookie of the Year to on the Bucs?
Oh, wow. But, you know, we're going to be missing two rookies here for these last two games because, as you mentioned, we had to put five players on IR this week, and two of those were two of our top picks in O.J. Howard and Justin Evans. And, you know, both those guys did a nice job for us this year. And I also think, you know, Kendall Beckwith and Chris Godwin have done a nice job for us this year as well. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll worry about end of year awards at the end of the year. Right now, we're just trying to figure out how we're going to go up to Carolina and get after Carolina this weekend.
We're talking to head coach Dirk Koetter on Buccaneers Radio. Daniela says, "What about Monday's game made Jameis so successful, even with all the injuries? Because that doesn't seem like a game that lent itself to a solid quarterback performance."
Yeah, well, we kind of all the same things that we already talked about. You know, Jameis didn't try to do too much. He was taking what the defense gave him. He was throwing the ball on time. He gave guys chances to make plays. And again, like the deep ball to Mike Evans, the early go route down the far sideline to Mike Evans, even though it was incomplete. You know, the ball on our sideline to Allen Cross. You know, Jameis, you don't have to always win the game by yourself. I mean, sometimes you just have to let the other guys help you. And I thought Jameis did a good job of that.
All right, I can't wait to hear your answer to this question. Jason says, "Merry Christmas to you and your family." And on a lighter note, if you had to be one of the following three, would you be Santa, an elf, or the Grinch, and why?
Oh, boy, well, I'd probably go with Santa out of those three options. Definitely don't want to be the Grinch. No one wants to be I don't think anyone wants to be the Grinch. And seems to me like elves probably have pretty good lives, but it seems to me like Santa would probably be the best bet of those. I mean, he gets to make everybody happy one day a year.
That's true. I like it. Okay. Lee said, "Was Freeman's success on Monday because of him or because you focused so much on stopping Julio?"
Both. It was both of those. First of all, Devontae Freeman is a heck of a running back. I was fortunate enough to coach him for a short time in Atlanta, and he is a really, really good football player. Atlanta was smart. I mean, they noticed that we were doubling Julio a lot, and you know, when you commit a corner and a safety to one wide receiver, that means that you're taking a guy out of the box in the run game. And you know, there was a couple different drives where, you know, where they ran it three or four times in a row. Where you know, they're smart coaches, and you know, Matt Ryan's definitely a smart quarterback. They did a good job of taking advantage of that, and you know, we still had some chances to make some of those plays, but you know, both of those things. And I mean, Freeman's going to get his yards against almost everybody, but you know, definitely they took advantage of what we were doing as well.
Tom said, 54 yards was a long field goal. How far do you consider a must make when the game is on the line, and how far is more of a hope and last option?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we feel like 53 yards, getting to the 35-yard line, they're going to be 8 yards back with the spot of the holder. That's a 53-yard field goal. That's what we normally shoot for. you know, we were 1 yard outside of that. Usually in practice, when we're moving the ball back for spots, we go back to 56 yards, and you know, Pat's made them from 56 in practice more than he's missed. You know, matter of fact, we just had a two minute drill in practice today, and one of the groups that went, it came down to a field goal at the end from 54 yards, and Pat went out there and made it, you know, would have had a few yards to spare. I mean, I think when you really look back at that game, at the end there, we did a good job moving it down the field. And if we were trying to clock the ball, the previous play started with 25 seconds. And Jameis hit Cam on the left side of the field for an 11-yard gain. We were going to go up there and clock it. We didn't have any timeouts left. In my opinion, we would have had somewhere between 8 and 11 seconds left. But that's when the ref fell down trying to spot the ball. And that just made it too close for comfort. I mean, if you have 7 or more seconds left, 7, 8 seconds, 7, 8, 9, you have time to run another play. Now, there's no guarantee we would have made any more yards, and we would have had to get out of bounds. But when we lost, whatever the exact number was, it's going to be impossible to ever know that. But whatever the amount of seconds that we lost on that, it just made it too risky to risk another play when, you know, I know Pat can make that field goal. And he did have the distance on that field goal. You know, it was wide to the right.
All right, we're going to take our first break here. Still plenty of time for you to get your questions in for head coach Dirk Koetter. Use the hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter. You can also submit them in the feature section of the Bucks app. And I'll give you those phone numbers one more time. Hillsboro, 990-4620. Pinellas, 461-4620, and toll-free, 888-546-4620. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Frontier Communications, now continues with head coach Dirk Koetter and Bucs insider Casey Phillips on Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back in Tampa Bay. We're here with Dirk Koetter. Still plenty of time for you to get all of your questions in for him. Use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter. You can also submit them in the feature section of the Bucks app or give us a call. And speaking of that, we have our first caller of the evening, Joe in Clearwater. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Coach Koetter. Thanks for taking the call. I'm wondering, when we hear about defenses disguising their coverages and how hard that can be for an offense to adjust to, how does the quarterback look to make that adjustment? Is it a matter of studying film, or is it something he's seeing on the field? How do they look for that?
Yeah, both of those things. The film study is extremely important. That's what the quarterbacks work very hard on that during the week, trying to get tendencies of how teams disguise their coverage. And then, you know, teams tweak their defensive game plans from week to week. So, you know, as quarterbacks get more experience playing, they definitely learn that on the run, and they learn to read read coverage during the games. We've talked about it on the show before. That's by far the biggest adjustment between college football and pro football. Is in college football, where those hash marks are, you know, the defense really has to declare and show the coverage a lot more. When I came to the NFL, I thought it was going to be a huge advantage because the ball was closer to the middle of the field. But come to find out, in the NFL, because the ball is closer to the middle of the field, safeties in this league hold their disguise so much longer, and they're not afraid to stay back in a two-shell or a split safety look, as we call it, and then come down late and drop down into the box. And especially like on your play actions, if the quarterback's turning his back to the line of scrimmage on a hard play action fake, by the time he makes the fake and turns around, it can look totally different.
It's a really interesting point. I hadn't thought about that before, that the turning your back does complicate things. Alan wants to know, how has Christian McCaffrey done his rookie year compared to what you would have thought, and have they used him the way you thought he would be effective in the NFL?
Yes, they have. I think, you know, the thing that jumped out at everybody when they were studying McCaffrey for the draft last year was his versatility. You know, he runs routes like a wide receiver for a smaller type guy. You know, he's not known as a power back, but Stanford used him as a power back. And then he was also a heck of a return man in college. So I think teams really liked his versatility. And Carolina, you know, Mike Shula's their offensive coordinator. We coached together in Jacksonville. And, of course, our Tampa Bay fans know that Mike Shula was a former coach here at the Bucs under Coach Dungy. And I think he's done a really good job of utilizing. I think Christian McCaffrey really complements Cam Newton well, and they've blended those two together in their various quarterback read options and quarterback run looks, and then all the screens they run off of it. I think they've done a really nice job of using him. And I know when we played him the first time, he hadn't had very many explosive plays, even though he had a lot of touches. I think he has gotten more explosive plays in this second part of the season. And, you know, right now the Carolina offense definitely runs through Cam Newton, but the number two guy right now is McCaffrey.
Steven in Plant City sent us a question on the app saying, I know that it's not as fast of a turnaround as a Thursday night game, but what challenges come with playing off of a Monday night game?
Yeah, it's just the player's recovery. And, you know, when you figure you play Monday night football, the game ended, you know, just before midnight on Monday night. So if you played a Sunday night game and you end about 5 o'clock on Sunday night, you're, you know, 30-something, 32, 33, 34 hours behind in your recovery for the next week. So normally the players have a kind of a recovery day on Monday, and then they're off on Tuesday. Well, when you play Monday night, the recovery day and the off day kind of get jammed into one day, which is Tuesday, and then you got to be back to work starting on the new team on Wednesday. A normal NFL week, you start on the new team on Wednesday, and that's what we did this week. We did cut back on the running for our guys on Wednesday. We did all the mental work, all the installation. But we slowed the pace down in practice a little bit because the players were still in recovery mode, and especially this late in the season, just, you know, it takes several days, especially for the big guys, for the D linemen and the O linemen, to get their bodies back where they feel like they can do anything. And even some of the smaller guys, I mean, they're, you know, we had some guys that have struggled to come back to full strength this week, and you just have to modify your practice and, you know, give the guys as much rest at the end of the week. From the end of practice on Friday, today, you know, we finish our practice around 12:30, and you know, you got about 48 hours till kickoff on Sunday.
We're talking to head coach Dirk Koetter on Buccaneers Radio. We have our next caller on the line, Sam from Brandon. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Coach, thanks for taking my call. Merry Christmas to you and your family. And now, my question for you, Coach, is I have a friend of mine who spent the preseason up in Atlanta when you was there as the offensive coordinator, and he said one of the things that made you guys so good back then is that when you did your game installs, that you sat with Matt Ryan and you and him did the installs together, what he was comfortable with, what he felt he would excel at. So my question is, do you do the same thing with Jameis Winston, or is it one of those things where he has to mature to that point before you would start doing that?
Man, Sam, you got good contacts, man. That's pretty in-depth question right there. You definitely have good contacts. So when I came here as an offensive coordinator and Jameis was a rookie, you know, the first year that Jameis and I were together, he had very little input into what we were doing game plan wise. I mean, his challenge every week was to basically learn the game plan and then go out and try to execute it. Last season, he had a little bit more. And then this year, even a little bit more still, as Jameis has learned our system. And I feel like Jameis really knows his stuff. I mean, Jameis can give it to you forward, backwards, sideways, any way you want to hear it. He's got it down. So I'm in a lot of the quarterback meetings with Coach Bajakian as he's teaching them the game plan, our install meetings. At different times, we have the entire offense in there. Sometimes we just have part of the offense. And then, you know, the way we do it now is at the end of the week, I get together, Jameis and I have a system down where Jameis kind of prioritizes what he likes and what he doesn't like, what he feels best about. If he and I have some things where we aren't seeing eye to eye on that, takes place on Friday. It took place today. And then that gives us, you know, 48 hours to work to find a common ground of things that we both feel really good about. And all the quarterbacks are involved in that process. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Griffin are also involved. Coach Monken, Coach Warhoff, Coach Bajakian also involved on the offensive staff. But, yeah, Jameis, he has good input, and he's been really doing a good job in that area of not being afraid to say, hey, I don't really like that. Let's not use that. Let's use something else instead.
Ed wants to know, you commented that players are professionals and paid to play, but they are human. So how do you keep that energy level from Monday this weekend, knowing that it's Christmas Eve and they're away from their families?
That's a great question. And trust me, I remind them of both of those things all the time. I remind them about the professional side, and we also talk to them all the time about the human side. And that's a delicate balance because, you know, you've got everything from first-year players that are, you know, living by themselves in an apartment to veteran players who have a family and small kids. And I can't give the whole thing away, but, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick was sitting out on the grass when I left the facility today, getting some of his Santa Claus work done, putting together a few toys out there on the grass. So that was a great reminder to me that these guys have other things. You know, the way it's going to work out this year, it's different every year based on where Christmas falls. But the way we try to humanize it is, you know, obviously we play on Christmas Eve. We play at 1 o'clock in Charlotte, and you know, because of the luxury of having a charter air flight, we're going to be back. You know, we're going to be back in town Christmas Eve by between 7 and 8 o'clock at night, and then we've given our players the day off on Monday on Christmas Day to spend with their families, and we had to just adjust our schedule a little bit. But that balance between the professionalism part and the human part, that's ongoing all the time.
And related to that, it works out well because you talked about giving the players the day off. But the first part of Carrie's question is, do you get Christmas Day off?
Well, not Christmas Day, but you know, we're going to get a little bit of time off. We still have to, you know, it takes a good 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, to put a game plan together. And we have a system that we use that we like to stay on a time track on it. It takes just a certain amount of time to do it. So, you know, based on the offensive coordinator, Coach Monk, and the defensive coordinator, Coach Smith, and the special teams coordinator, Coach Katzer, we've got a plan for Monday that's going to give our coaches some flexibility. You know, we have some coaches with young kids that are going to want to spend some time at home early Christmas Day. And then we've got some coaches with older families that are going to want to maybe go home for Christmas dinner later in the day. But we're not going to get the whole day off, but everybody will get a little bit of family time.
Awesome. And then the second part of her question was, how is prepping for a team you've already played this season different than the other first-time matchups?
Yeah, that's one of the really unique things about the NFL is, you know, there's three teams in your division that you play twice a year. And the way it fell this year is you play them pretty close together. You know, the NFL has kind of backloaded the schedule where they want all these division games at the end. So, you know, in Atlanta's case, we played them twice in 3 weeks. And, you know, your division games, you know those teams better than anybody else, and they know you better than anybody else. So, you know, you have a book, so to speak. You know, we keep a book on all of our teams, and I'm sure they keep a book on us. And so, you know, maybe in game planning, you know, we have certain things that we think are good against them, and the same way. And then you watch how other teams have attacked them. Injuries comes into play. You know, like when we played Carolina the first time, they didn't have Greg Olsen on offense, and now Greg Olsen is back, and you know he's one of the top tight ends in the league. So that changes things a little bit. And that's just an example, but it's not harder or easier. It's just kind of unique that you play those three teams twice.
Bill says, what do you love most about coaching, and what makes you willing to put in the long hours and deal with the hard times and occasionally be away from your family?
Yeah, that's an easy one. Two things that are right at the top is, one, being around the players. I mean, being around all the different players that you get to be around, you know, that's awesome to work with guys that want to get better. And, you know, you meet so many great athletes, great men, cool guys, you know, just so many different personalities from all walks of life and all kinds of different backgrounds. That's the one thing. And then the other thing is, you know, the opportunity to compete against the best in the world. That's an awesome feeling. And obviously it's not so awesome when you don't come out with a victory, but, you know, to be out there competing against the best players and the best coaches in the world is pretty cool.
I love that. All right, we're at about the halfway point here of Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter. Still plenty of time for you to get your questions for him in. Use the hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter or the feature section in the Bucks app, or give us a call. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Frontier Communications with head coach Dirk Koetter and Bucs insider Casey Phillips on Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back in Tampa Bay, just past the halfway point here with head coach Dirk Koetter. Still plenty of time for you to get your questions for him in. Use that hashtag BucsRadio on Twitter, the feature section of the Bucs app, or give us a call. All right, Brian wanted to know, looking back on the Atlanta game, did you think about going for it on that fourth down before the last drive?
Oh, boy, I'm having a hard time remembering when exactly he's talking. Fourth down before the last drive. I'm not 100% sure. I've been thinking about Carolina all
Yeah, and making you look back all of a sudden in the middle of it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what play we're talking about. So
okay, that's all right. We can
apologize.
That's all right. Yeah, you've already looked at 1,000 plays since then, I'm sure. All right, Jason wants to know, Greg Olsen didn't play last time. How does he change their offense?
Well, he's one of the best tight ends in the league. And, you know, when we drafted O.J. Howard, we drafted O.J. Howard to be the type of tight end that Greg Olsen already is. You know, he's fast like a wide receiver. He'll do the dirty work as a blocker, and he's a playmaker running with the football. So, you know, Olsen's been hurt a lot this year, but he was the Pro Bowl tight end a year ago. And, you know, that's just one more weapon that it adds back. You know, when I watched the Green Bay game against Green Bay last week, you know, he made a couple nice plays. It looked to me like he maybe didn't have all of his speed back, but people forget that he was a first round draft pick, and you know, ran like a 4.5 something 40 coming out of Miami.
Yeah, Don said, who on our team is most capable of covering Olsen, and how did injuries potentially change that?
Well, our best coverage safety is probably Chris Conte, and we play some man coverage, but we're more of a zone team than a man team. But you know, if we were matched up in man, it would fall on Chris Conte the majority of the time.
Okay. Steve says, does the team or any of the coaches do anything to celebrate the holidays together?
Well, as you know, Casey, the different position groups, as far as doing stuff that they help out in the community, you know, the D-line Christmas, the running backs and the safeties have both been hosting different families at $1 to give kids Christmas presents and help families out. And a lot of our players' foundations, Mike Evans, the McCoy family, there's tons of things going on where position groups or individual players have their different events that they put on to support people in the community at Christmas. And then I'm sure there'll be guys that group up. I know they do on Thanksgiving where guys are invited to each other's house for Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner. Coaches not so much, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas. I think our coaches get so little time with their family. And they've spent so much time with the coaches. I think they're probably looking for more family time when it's just them and the family. But, your football team is a tight-knit group, spend a lot of time together. And I think that everybody does a really good job of making sure that everybody has some place to go. But, some seasons, it depends on how the calendar falls, where Christmas is, you're forced to spend Christmas together. But the way it's going to fall this Christmas, it's going to be more family-oriented, individual family-oriented.
Very nice, very nice. Damian says, how is Luke Kuechly able to know other teams' offenses so well? If studying film did that, it seems like everyone would know it.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know, that is an excellent point. And, you know, Luke Kuechly is the best that I've ever gone against at knowing your tendencies, and he's not afraid to call them out. Now, he's not always right. Sometimes people think he's always right. And, you know, just because he might know what you're about to do, you know, sometimes when he's trying to audible their defense, like a quarterback would audible an offense, you know, sometimes what people tend to forget is even if some guys know what the other side is doing, they still have to stop it, number one. And then when either side, offense or defense, is changing the original call, you know, if you're in football, your quarterback makes a play call. I right pair Z line and 36 slot boss the edge. Okay, there's a play call. And so when the players break the huddle for the 20 seconds or so before the ball is snapped, they're thinking about what do I do on 36 slot boss the edge. And then all of a sudden the quarterback, he audibles and he says, no, check, check, check. I want to run 35 gut. Then they have to, in a split second, think about what their new assignment is and what they do on their new play. Well, that's the same thing on defense. And guys get messed up. I mean, you know, you're talking about a few seconds to think about what I have to do and then figure it all out on the run. And, you know, in the coaching world, we call that processing information. And, you know, I'm sure in no matter what line of work you're in, everybody processes information at a different rate. And so Kuechly processes information at an extremely high rate, but maybe all of his teammates don't. So film study and experience, and then, you know, there's special players at every position. There's special quarterbacks, there's special offensive tackles, there's special wide receivers. I think Luke Kuechly is a special linebacker. I think he's in that respect, he's right at the very top. But, you know, the NFL players are the best in the world, and at that particular aspect, I mean, he's one of the best, if not the best in the world.
I like it. And another question about him. Bobby says, does Luke Kuechly make it even harder for this new O-line grouping? What will they need to do well to keep him and the Panthers' D-line in check?
Well, Kuechly's part of that, but the Panthers are just a really good defensive front. You know, both of their defensive ends, Peppers and Addison, both have 10 sacks apiece. You know, they're two – their two inside guys are both 300-plus pounders that can knock your guards back into the backfield. So, Kuechly gets to stand behind those guys, and it's hard to get to Kuechly because that front four protects him. And, that front seven of Carolina, I mean, they've done a nice job of putting that group together, and they play at a high level. So that is going to give, whether you have a young O-line or experienced O-line, some new guys in there, yeah, that's going to be the challenge in this game.
And Johnson said, is there a position group that is particularly hard to deal with injuries where the next man up thing might be harder to do?
They're all hard. You know, what happens is you only, you know, based on the numbers that you have on your team, you have a certain number of guys at each position on your team. So the hardest thing is when you get hit with multiple injuries at the same position in the same game. So in the Atlanta game the other night, at one point we had both Cam Brate and O.J. Howard were both out at tight end. So we went into the game with four tight ends, and all of a sudden we had two. And we had, you know, several different packages where we had three and four tight ends in the game. So, you know, we had to scrap those packages. Now, you know, Cam Brate was able to come back and play the whole second half, so that all of a sudden we had those packages back up. Same thing happened. You know, it could be defensive end, it could be safety, it could be anywhere. But if the trickiest part is if you lose two positions at the same position in the same game.
And Joel said, what was the most memorable Christmas gift you've received, and what was it? And then he also wants to know, what's a gift that you've given that you thought was really great?
Oh, man. You guys are asking some really tough ones, because, like I said, I've been thinking about Carolina Panthers all week, and I really haven't been thinking about that kind of stuff. I'll say that the best gift I've ever given was on Christmas morning about 29 years ago. I proposed to my wife and gave her a ring. And she'd probably say I wasn't romantic enough in the proposal, but I'd probably say that was the most important gift I ever gave, is asking my wife to marry me. And I got lucky and she said yes, and she still likes me a little bit. As far as best gift I've ever received, boy, that's a hard one. I don't know what the answer to that would be, but
how about we go with her saying yes and win you some brownie points?
Yeah, there we go.
Got your back, Coach. Always got your back. All right. Kurt said, is it more important to put pressure on Cam Newton or to contain him?
Contain him, in my opinion. Cam's a very hard quarterback to sack, and I think most teams would say that their goal when they play Cam Newton is to contain him and keep him in the pocket and see if he can beat you out of the pocket. And he can. He can definitely do that. But in my opinion, he's at his most dangerous when he gets outside the pocket and he has a run-pass option.
All right. We still have one more segment coming up here with head coach Dirk Koetter. You can still get some of those last-minute questions for him in. Use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter. Submit them in the feature section of the Bucks app or give us a call. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter now continues. Brought to you by Frontier Communications on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back in. It's our final segment here with head coach Dirk Koetter. Still just a couple minutes for you to get those last second questions for him in. Use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter or the feature section of the Bucks app or give us a call. And we have our caller on the line, Tommy from New Jersey. Go ahead, Tommy.
Hello there, Coach. How you doing, Case?
Doing great, Tommy. How about yourself?
Okay, no questions for the coach today. He answers too many questions already. I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year down to all the Tampa Bay fans and all the Bucks. And, Coach, I know it's been tough, but win or lose in the next couple games, I hope you're still the man that's going to be captain of the ship next year. And I just wanted to put that word in there. I was there Monday, and I won't be in Charlotte, but I'll be down there next Sunday for the Saint game to wrap the season up. So stay positive. I know the boys didn't quit on you. We almost came back there to Monday night. So that's always a positive call. So stay well, and you guys have a good night down there tonight. And keep your head up.
Appreciate it, Tommy. Thanks. Appreciate your support.
Always got the positivity from Tommy. I love it. Thanks, Tommy, for calling in. All right, Jake wants to know, are there any rules you would like to change in the league? And no, it doesn't have to be reasonable or possible.
Yeah. I don't know, Case. I don't. This is probably not good for me to comment on anything.
That's fair.
You know, the rules are what the rules are, and you know, as long as they're the same for both teams, then I'm good.
Okay, I like it. All right, Samuel says, because of all the defensive injuries, will Beckwith be asked to do multiple roles, whether it's pass rush, coverage, run stop, that kind of thing?
Well, probably. Yeah, probably he will. And, you know, that's where his versatility is a big plus. You know, we still have guys in recovery mode from the game, and then, as everybody knows, Levante David, one of the best players on our team, missed the game last week, and we're hopeful that he'll be able to come back for Carolina. So, you know, we still have 48 hours approximately here till game time, and Kendall Beckwith, his flexibility will, you know, more than likely be needed.
I love all these Christmas-themed questions we're getting. Kyle said, you can ask Santa for one thing for your team this weekend, and you can't say a win. What is it?
25 touchdowns.
That seems reasonable. Yeah, I think that that's a pretty good wish there. I like that.
I thought maybe we had the same criteria as the last question, that it didn't have to be reasonable.
Yeah, sure.
25 touchdowns, we'd probably have a good chance at a win.
Probably. I think probably so. That's pretty great. Miles said, if you could coach another sport, what would it be and why?
Well, basketball. I was a basketball coach when I was still in college. Still, you know, when I played at Idaho State, I was still I was a high school basketball coach, an assistant coach, and I always thought that's what I would end up doing. I really enjoyed the strategy of basketball, and so when I was a high school football coach, I was also a high school basketball coach. Liked it a lot, and if I was a coach, it wasn't football, it would be basketball.
Very cool. I like that. Frank says, are you one of the people who thinks the Pro Bowl voting is unfair for Levante?
Yes. And I don't say unfair like, oh, you know, neener, 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 this is unfair. It is what it is. And 4-3 outside linebackers are not valued the same as 3-4 outside linebackers. It's just the way it's structured. And so those teams that play 4-3, and, you know, your outside linebackers in a 4-3, you use them different than a 3-4 team does, because they're going to rush those guys more. They're going to get more sacks, and sacks have a tendency to be equated with the Pro Bowl. So, you know, it's just the way it's structured, and it's unfortunate for the guys that play that position. I mean, Thomas Davis is a guy for the Carolina Panthers that plays that position, and it's just the way it is. But I think Levante David has had an excellent season, and hopefully we'll get him back here for these next two games.
All right, we've got about a minute left here, and Brett said, have you had any starstruck moments in the NFL being on the field at the same time as someone you idolized?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say idolized, but, you know, you're definitely impressed with some of the people that you're on the field with, playing against, and coaching. I mean, some of the best of all time. You know, when you play New England and Tom Brady is out there, of course. And but not I wouldn't use the word starstruck, but just respect for what they've accomplished in the field that I happen to be in. And you know, coaching-wise and player-wise. I mean, we talked about that in one of the earlier questions, and I think that's one of the best things about it is being able to go up against the best players and the best coaches in the world.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Coach, as always. Thanks to all of you for listening. Have a great holiday weekend. Buccaneers Total Access with Head Coach Dirk Koetter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access with Head Coach Dirk Koetter has been brought to you by Frontier Communications. Fios keeps you in the game. Visit FrontierFlorida.com to join the team. This is Tampa Bay's Sports Radio, 620 WDAE St. Petersburg and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.